Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific Tuesday. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row George Plaster, who is currently the Associate AD for Marketing at Belmont University, but before that spent 3 decades in Nashville radio. He's got the best voice of anybody we bring on Press Row throughout the year. It is always great to visit with George Plaster. George, how are you today?
Wow, I got to tell you, that's an intro I've never gotten before. The best voice?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Well, I feel honored. That's awesome.
All right. Nashville last night was another season-ending result for the Predators. You know, you think about a couple of years ago, the Stanley Cup Finals against Pittsburgh. Last year, the best regular season record got put out in the second round. This year, second seed in the Western Conference. How does this one feel compared to maybe the two predecessors?
Well, you know exactly how it feels, and you can fill in the blank. It feels like, and then you can put whatever word you want in. Part of the reason it doesn't feel very good is that the effort during this whole playoff series, if it had been as good an effort the entire series as it was last night, maybe this could have been a little bit of a different story. People walked out of Game 5 a couple of days ago on Saturday not feeling very good about the effort, not feeling very good about a lot of what they saw on the ice. And so it's a much different picture than it was 2 years ago, that's for sure.
And you look at just the nature of hockey, the fact that the top seeds this year are both out. You know, Nashville, like I said, being a second seed is out. What do you think the cause of that is? You mentioned fans walking out unhappy. You only have a best 4 of 7 to do something about it. You would think the effort this time of year would be ramped up among the better teams, and the better teams are falling like flies.
Well, I don't pretend to know exactly what's going on, but there's a disconnect somewhere. There is some sort of an internal issue going on right now that with this team that we don't know what it is. And because we don't know, about all you can do is guess. There are 2 or 3 theories floating out there, one of which is that Peter Laviolette lost that locker room, and I suspect there's some truth to it. If you look at his track record, it looks like a law of diminishing returns after about 3 or 4 years of wherever he's been. You know, if I was gonna say, okay, this is the one that I think maybe has the most merit, that probably is it. The truth of the matter is, you can put all this Central Division champion stuff that you want out there. It was fool's gold. And most of us, you know, who were there on a nightly basis knew that. Their ability to win the Central Division was much more a product of Winnipeg just falling apart to a level that none of us saw coming. And by the time St. Louis got their act together, it was 1 point short. And so the Predators, through kind of a fluky deal, ended up as the Central Division champion, but you never felt like this was a team on the move.
I guess if there is a silver lining, if I'm a Nashville resident today, it's that at least I don't have to dwell on this for forever, because we are 2 days away from the NFL draft coming to Music City for the very first time. What has the excitement level been for this event?
Well, it's as you can imagine, it's wild. And all you have to do, take a look Thursday night, size of the stage downtown. You know, I do wonder, what was it going to be like if the Predators had somehow won this series? Their game 1 at home against St. Louis would have been on Friday night, right in the middle of all this.
Wow.
Right in the middle of the whole marathon that goes on, you know, starting on Saturday, and downtown would have been a complete zoo. And, you know, you probably would have had to park, you know, somewhere near Chattanooga to get downtown. And so I may not have necessarily been looking forward to that, but you're right. It is an exciting thing for the city, and I'm really proud, you know, as somebody who grew up here, that we've reached a point where you know, we can host something like this. And I think we're going to show the country that we're as good a city at putting on these kind of big sporting events as anybody.
You're listening to George Plaster, a Nashville sports radio legend. Always enjoy having George on here. You're listening to George here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
George, a couple of years ago when Nashville was the talk not only of the state but of the entire NHL, the entire city bought into it, and you mentioned that a little bit with the draft. How cool is it and the vibe that when something cool like this happens, the country music scene, I mean, like, they jump up. It wouldn't be anything for Brad Paisley to announce the Titans' first pick, would it?
No, and that's one of the cool things that has happened here is that there's a cooperation level between the country music industry and the sports teams that's been really good. I would give a lot of the credit to a guy named Butch Spiridon, who runs our Convention and Visitors Bureau, who does such a wonderful job and you know, is just, you know, living proof of what cooperation between a city and a Convention and Visitors Bureau and just the sports teams in general. You know, you can move mountains if everybody's got the same goal. And it's very cool.
Now, and to that end, and you're there neck deep in it, I know you've been consumed with the hockey, but now we turn our attention to the Titans in town. What do you think they do in round one? And do you think John Robinson's been aggressive in positions like this? Does this feel like he may try to move up? What are you kind of hearing that the Titans may do?
You know, if I was going to guess, I think they stay right where they are. You know, I'm hoping that this whole draft thing can begin a little bit of a surge, because for all of the excitement around the Predators, the fact of it is there's a disconnect between the fan base here and the Titans. You know, there were 20,000 empty seats the next to the last week into the season against Washington in a game that had huge playoff implications. And there are a couple of things at work here. This is a boring football team. The NFL knows that they schedule the Titans for one, primetime game. There are now three things in life that are certainties: death, taxes, and we're going to play the Jaguars in some form of national TV. And what they're doing is they're basically saying you're dull. And, you know, I think that's one of the things they need to look at right now is that the NFL's fun. The Kansas Cities and the Rams and New Orleans and all these teams that are getting it up and down the field. And then you've got the Titans, who look like they're stuck in the 50s. And, you know, they might need to rethink their position a little bit about how they go about entertaining their fans. The NFL's given them a signal that they're dull. I think the fans have given them that signal. And, you know, I think this is – they've got to look internally a little bit and say, how do we recapture the magic we used to have?
Is that magnified in your mind a little bit, George, considering the Titans – and we had a quote in an AP story earlier this week that John Robinson's saying they've got to figure out a way to go from good and pretty good to very good and great. Well – the buzz right now in the NFL is Cleveland, and they've gone from crappy to just bad. But nobody can get enough of what the Browns got going on because they get Baker Mayfield, because they get Odell Beckham Jr. And, I mean, you got to pick what's best for your football team, but if they come out of here at a round one in their home city with a D-tackle or a guard, I mean, that just plays right to your narrative, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you on a lot of this. But let me go back. You know, I don't get the chance to say this right now a whole lot in Nashville Sports Talk Radio. I do a Sunday night show, and that's about it. And for the 8 listeners that may be there, God bless them. They're getting some great stuff.
Yeah, I bet they are. And the best voice we've ever had on Press Row.
But seriously, here's one of the things where I think the Titans have really screwed up. When they were thinking about drafting Marcus Mariota, they needed, you know, when they were doing all the interviews at the Combine and then bringing him in here, they needed to tell him, look, not only do we need a really good quarterback who can get all the things done, but we need a face of the franchise. Marcus Mariota, for all intents and purposes, is virtually invisible in this city. You see more of him in Hawaii when he goes back home. And I don't mean this as a huge criticism, but when your quarterback is truly not the face of your franchise, you got some problems. And he's really not. Taylor Lewan is much more the out in the public, you know, face of the franchise kind of deal. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that doesn't get talked about a lot. You know, I had a caller say, well, Steve McNair didn't really enjoy doing it either. And Steve didn't, but he knew when he needed to. He knew, you know, that was an important piece of the job requirement. And it's one of the things that Marcus Mariota, in my mind, really has not done at all.
Well, and that's such a great example, too. But and because McNair also had better sidekicks. Eddie George was great at it. Frank Wycheck was great at it. I mean, it wasn't all on him, but he also was way more exciting to watch than Mariota is.
Well, let's take two different issues on this. The first one is you're absolutely right. They were 15 to 20 deep when they got to town of players who were out in the public, who were really part of this community, and the community really embraced them. Right now, I don't know that our community knows who any of these players are. And, you know, whether that's the players' fault or shame on the Titans or whatever, there's a disconnect. You know, the city knows Pecorine. They know P.K. Subban. They know a lot of the Predators. I don't think they know a lot of the Titans. Now, excuse me, on the Mariota, you know, on the field front, I think we all know that he's been okay, and that's about it. And okay isn't good enough. This is a year that, you know, there had better be a breakout, or he may find himself as a career backup. I mean, I think we're down to that now.
You're listening to George Plaster, the Nashville sports radio legend, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Got time for one more, George, and I want to ask about your alma mater. I think a lot of people may not realize Vanderbilt doesn't win a whole lot of SEC basketball titles. I think their last one may have been under Fogler about a quarter century ago, but they've never been bad until now. And, I mean, historically, you look and you've got Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, and then you could argue Vanderbilt, you know, from the programs that have been there from the get-go, maybe like the fourth best all-time program in terms of win percentage, but to go 0-18, how stunned are you that Vanderbilt basketball has sunk to this? And do you think Jerry Stackhouse is an answer? Because that seemed like a weird hire compared to some of these others that have happened in the league.
It is a weird hire in that there's nothing in his resume that says to you, okay, he absolutely can recruit at this level. I think it's a real gamble. I'm not sure I would have taken the gamble, but it's been done, so now you got to let the thing play out. On Bryce Drew, it all looked good when he got hired. You know, young, energetic, basketball family. None of it translated. I don't think he did a lick of coaching with this team. You know, I think he fell into a big old pity party when Darius Garland got hurt. And when the coach gets into a pity party, then the players are allowed to participate in their brand of the pity party. And if you look, you can't honestly, with a straight face, say that they got one bit better after the injury. And that's Bryce Drew's fault. I mean, it's his program. It's on his watch. You know, I know some people were surprised when he got let go. But when you go 0-18... you know, you open yourself up to that. There's certain things in sports that, you know, you open yourself up to. For instance, whoever runs the power play with the Predators, they're ranked dead last in the NHL. Well, you know what? It's a production league, and that person's probably going to get fired, and rightfully so. Same thing with Bryce Drew. You go 0-18, what do you expect?
Well said. I think their last 10, 11, 12 games were like multiple possession ball games, and a couple of them were downright ugly. you know, 30-point game spot on. George, listen, we touched on a bunch of things. Thank you so much for visiting with us. Sorry about your Preds, but congratulations on your city getting to host an NFL draft. That is cool.
It is cool. And by the way, guys, I'm in Cincinnati to see my Braves tonight. So keep your fingers crossed. I need a win somewhere.
All right. Thank you, George. And great stuff as always. George Plaster, the Nashville sports radio legend, joining us here on Press Row. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to ESPN 105.1 The Zone.